Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, you guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. Playoffs in full tilt, full weekend of games went down. It is the Temple of Hoop podcast. Best time of the year. This is Christmas for us. As always, joined by Kings and Jordan. What is up with you two? What's popping with y'all? Talk to me.
Pretty good, man.
Chocolate L.
Man, you know, Jordan has a Mariners hat on, so I'm trying not to be too mean to his Bucks. He's repping the greatest MLB franchise in existence. So,
Jason, we're being completely honest, bro. We both knew the Bucks were live to lose.
I know. Game one.
30 piece, man.
We are joined, friend of the pod. Usually have him on two or three times a season. First time we had him on this season. Vinay, my guy. What is going on with you, my guy? Laker fan. The Laker fan you love to hate. What's going on, my guy, man?
That's good. What's up, fellas? I'm glad to be back on another season of Temple of Hoop. No time is better than playoff time. I agree with you. It's Christmas time for us. This is the best part of basketball right here.
Right. Vinay doesn't tweet as much as he used to, but he does do those live playback rooms along with Raj during Laker games. You can catch their dope analysis and breakdowns during actual games. So that's where you can find him most of these days. Let's hop right into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Lakers go on the road, go up 1-0, 7-seed Lakers beat Memphis 128-112. Lakers come out, back and forth game. Lakers blow it up late. Get a big, this is probably one of the best defensive games I've ever seen Anthony Davis play. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 7 blocks, 3 steals, and a controversial charge, I guess now it is, in retrospect. Yeah. Austin Reeves was the closer. Kind of hilarious.
That was crazy.
Saying that. I thought a couple notes from me. I thought D'Angelo Russell played a really good second half after an uneven first half. LeBron struggled offensively at times, but defensively was probably his most engaged game in a minute. You can tell he was locked in on both ends there. But the story for the Lakers, Rui Hachimura.
He was nuts. Absolutely bananas in the second half.
29 points, 6 rebounds, in true Rui fashion, only 1 assist. You love to see it. 5 for 6 from 3. You can tell it was the Grizzlies' plan to kind of let him shoot. He made them pay. Darvin Ham spoke to how he had taken him out of the rotation, kind of going rogue with the rotation, just kind of experimenting. Said that Rui responded like a true pro and stayed aggressive. He actually wanted him to be more aggressive. So, you know, definitely felt the dividends here. Vinay, you're the guest. We'll start with you. Just on the Lakers side, before we get into what happened with the Grizzlies side, they have a big development on the Grizzlies side. But from the Lakers side, things you saw in this game, good things, uneven things you want to see continue. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I thought the Lakers sort of cut down their rotation and they played like everybody at like the right amount of minutes and stuff like that. And Rui was phenomenal in the second half. Like he just came in and he just kept shooting. He came in shooting the ball like he knew they were going to leave him open, and he had to take him with full confidence. I thought that was a really, really the big difference between that first half and that second half. And I think you mentioned it, like D'Lo. I got in trouble for something I tweeted at D'Lo after the playing game. Like D'Lo, like that second half, he picked it up. Like he wasn't having a good game. And then that third quarter, I think he had like a little like 7-0 run where he just kind of did himself. And then you get Austin just closing out the way that he closed out that game, that behind the back pass off the baseline attack. That was nuts to see a guy. It's crazy to see a second year undrafted free agent player like to be doing the stuff that he's doing. And you have LeBron and AD on the team, and he just kind of takes over the game like that. That's kind of nuts to see. But I think story of the game is part, one of the stories. 80s defense was crazy this game.
Man.
We haven't seen a defense like that in a while. Like there were some times where like Ja got in the paint or he wanted to get in the paint and he's just like, nah. He just like kind of turned around and kicked it out and stuff like that. But his defense was phenomenal. That small ball unit of Rui and Braun at the 4-5, Braun was blocking shots. He was playing defense. And honestly, if you're a Laker fan and if this is supposed to be Braun's feel-out game, because I know a lot of Braun folks say that, like the game one's feel-out game, you couldn't write up a better feel-out game for him. Yep. Like neither AD nor Braun really had to do that much on offense. So, I mean, that's what you want.
Kings, your thoughts on the Lakers side, brother?
Yeah, great. Great game. I thought they were going to lose this game. You know, Bron did play his feel-out game on offense, but, I mean, talk about the others. I mean, Dan's got into early foul trouble, but he still had a great game defensively, did a great job sticking on Ja. Same with Vando, did a great job making it tough. And Rui, I mean, he's playing with a lot more confidence. Man, I had some Wizards people were telling me this is what they envisioned, the type of play style he needs to play like, not forcing stuff. It's great because he does, like, you don't want him to hunt that mid-range shot, but that's the fact that he has it. So it's like, okay, he's making his threes. They're taking him off the three-point line. But it's like even if you think it's a fluke game and you say, okay, well, we're not going to give you this easy look, it's like he can still get points in other ways because he has a versatile skill set. So that's what I think makes him very dangerous in terms of getting better, because he actually can score in a variety of ways. And, you know, he is aggressive going to the paint. So great on him. I mean, Reeves, hey man, me and Maples have said it, bro. I do not care about no shift team, ball is life, mixed team. I don't care about none of those handles, bro. I don't care about none of those handles from Mr. Jordan Poole. I want the guy who he plays under control. He knows how to get, and he can get a stop. He can get a stop when it matters, bro. I'm not worried about, oh, am I going to start bleeding points? He can get a stop on that game, bro. Like give me that every time, man. Y'all can keep the highlights, bro. I'm good.
You know what's funny before I give it to Jordan? It's funny. I just look at the minutes played because it was a to-the-wire game. Reeves played 31. Poole played 20.
This is also the second game in a row, right? Like we saw Dennis we saw Dennis close out that Minnesota game next to Reeves. And then today we saw D'Lo close the game out next to Reeves in this game. So like Ham is seeing the same thing. He's like, this kid can finish. He'll do whatever I ask him to do. It's almost like he's like that third guy.
Right. And I also want to say me and Kings have been Darvin Ham defenders over the course of the season. I will say this. He did an excellent job scouting, a self-scout for the Lakers. Absolutely. He looked at the Lakers and said, this is what Minnesota's going to do. And he was prepared for every wrinkle they threw. I'd say hard double at AD and Bron. This is the counter. I thought he had Vando. Vando's activity off the ball. He's not just being a guy in the corner offense. His cutting and slashing off the ball was key. They obviously told Rui, hey, be prepared to let it go. They're going to double, bro. So be prepared to come in and shoot. And also the rotations. I thought the subs were really on point. That's probably the one sticking point that I kind of agreed with people that needed to be tightened up. I felt like every sub needed to be made at the right time. And I think he hit that button 100% today. So just an excellent Darvin Ham game. Obviously, the playoffs is game to game. How do you adjust? So we'll see how it goes. But I thought A-plus for him there. Jordan, you're the outsider here as far as the Lakers go. What did you see?
I mean, as a Gonzaga truther, you know, I'd love to see Rui dominate like he did.
He is a Gonzaga fan.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was awesome. But, you know, can he continue to shoot 5 of 6 from three? I don't know if that's sustainable. And that's going to be huge. But, I mean, if you're a Laker fan and you look at it, it's like, man, we just got almost 60 points combined from Rui and Reeves. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, we're not going to get that again. But we're definitely going to get more from LeBron and AD.
Right, so yep.
If you look at it from that perspective, like, I look at it from an outsider's point, and I'm just like, I don't know if the Grizzlies can hang, dude. You know what I mean? And I felt like this series was, like, the first team that won a road game was going to win this series. The Lakers won the first road game. They won the first game of the series. So I like the Lakers to win the series. I just think they have too much, and especially if Jaw's hurt, and he can't go another game. I think it's totally brutal. The loss of Steven Adams is massive, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think that's talked about enough, because every time JJJ goes that weak side defense and to hell. I mean, it's just offensive rebound. They Lakers plus 11 in rebounds. You look at every playoff series this weekend, the team that won the rebounding advantage won the game.
Like I said, the game changes, the philosophy changes. That will never change because it's all about possessions at the end of the day. Like
extra possessions, man, makes a huge difference in
that
basketball.
That's never going to change. Jordan mentioned it. Let's segue right into it. Huge development outside of that. The Ja Morant looked to re-aggravate at least a wrist hand injury. The photo on the landing did not look good at all.
Oh.
Prayers to Ja. Never want to see a superstar taken out of a game or anybody, but definitely not a superstar. Taken out of a high leverage situation on a charge that AD took. I have not mixed feelings. Like, I'm an advocate of the mid-range pull-up or the floater there, but that's a whole different conversation. I picked the Lakers in six anyway. If Ja doesn't play, I think they do have the best backup point guard in the NBA. And Tyus Jones, I think he's in that conversation, so he's good. They might squeeze one out, but without Adams, Ja,
no Brandon Clark.
It's like at some point it becomes a war of attrition, and I just don't see how the Grizzlies, stay competitive for long stretches in this series with that happening. I hate to, don't want to be that guy to call it after one game, but if Ja doesn't play,
I
go five instead of six.
Another piece missing too is Zaire Williams.
Yeah.
See, just this their front line is decimated.
Yes.
Yeah. It's absolutely decimated. So I don't think it's a very competitive series without Ja. He was actually playing well. He turned it over a lot, but I feel like he was scoring efficiently. He was giving the Lakers a little bit of fits with his penetration, which was expected. I think we all said his point of attack, his ability to penetrate was going to give Lakers trouble. I think we all saw that. It was just a matter of how they were going to mitigate that. Just without Ja, Kings, I go roll it back to you. I just don't think they have a chance. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you already knew Ja was going to struggle anyway, just with the way the Lakers defended him, who they had. But now it's like, yeah, man, his hand, that was bad. It was bad. And it's one of those things where it's like high. That's just high flyers, man. It's the danger of high flyers. It just takes one bad landing. You know what I mean? It just takes one bad landing and they're out. They're hurt. You know what I mean? And it's you hate to see it, but it was crazy because like there's one on with AD where he saw AD come in, he thought about dunking, but he shifted to a layup. And this time it was just like, you know what? He was just like, F it. I'm gonna go for it and see if I get it. It's like, you know what I mean? You can't just be jumping over everybody, Ja. That floater, that mid-range, it saves you. It opens up your game. It protects you. But, like you said, no Clark, no Adams, Zaire being out. Like, Jared Jackson, man, all praise to him, man. He balled.
Yeah, I mean,
those buckets on Brown were not easy. He worked. And I thought, there's no way he's going to keep this up the whole game. And he did, bro. He kept attacking. He kept doing it on both ends. Like, great, great guy. But, man, I mean, it can't be just him, bro. You know what I mean? Just him and then Tillman. Like, it's – come on, man. It's like
– you already know Dylan Brooks is going to shoot him out of game.
It's like he's overcome – he has to overcome Brown, AD, and Dylan Brooks. Like, it's just not –
Yeah, I saw Kings retweeted that first Dylan Brooks three with 20 on the shot clock with a hand in his face. I was like, "We here, baby!"
Yeah, yes.
That first three with 20 on the shot clock with a hand in his face.
More, like you know what I mean? Like it's just, it sucks for Grizzlies, man, because a front court team like the Lakers, bro, like a dynamic front court team, that it's not happening, bro. Like Rui, Bron, AD, they can get easy looks all series. This it might be a sweep, bro. Like,
I mean, there was a point in the game where they were double teaming Rui because he was so hot, and then he found Reeves for a wide open three. So I was just like, all right, man, if you can't even guard Rui one on one, then you guys are gonna be in trouble.
I just say that I can't even say that because they were healthy outside of Ja when they stole one from the Warriors last year. So they so we'll see what happens, but yeah, not good. You want to see guys healthy, but I think the main thing me and Kings is doing this pod the last couple of years. We the main observation is like whoever's healthiest, man, is often going to give themselves the best shot to keep winning. And the Lakers, like, they dealt a lot of injury stuff early, right? And just they happen to be the probably the healthiest team in the playoffs right now, you know, by some crazy, you know, happenstance. Yeah. Let's move
and,
to.
And I was going to say, they're not getting rid of the Charge. So whoever's been tweeting, I'll say it, like, whoever's been tweeting, ban the Charge, that's not happening. Like, unless you want to turn this game into football, that's not happening. They're not banning
the Charge. We're going to get to that later. That should be a fun way to find out.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on, let's stay in California, Northern California, go back to the Bay Area. NorCal battle. Sacramento, the 3-seed underdog, upsets the Warriors. I have to go off the books, man. Jordan, the Kings are the underdog, right?
Yeah, they're still the underdog.
Yeah, see, yeah.
Today, dude.
Yeah, see.
Plus 132. They were plus 215.
Yeah, see.
Plus
132. Yeah, so they defeat the Warriors 126-123. 29 point second half from De'Aaron Fox. Warriors just could not stay in front of him. That was just the breakdown of it all. He created havoc. And then when the midi started falling, it was just tough. Steph Curry finishes with 30. Odd choice, a shot on that, the shot to tie or go ahead, the running three.
Runner three.
Yeah, that was very odd. Klay Thompson, 21 points, 8 of 19 shooting. Klay talking big in the post game, said, I will not miss nearly the amount of shots I will if I get the same looks.
Okay.
My take before I pass it on, which is why I don't think the Warriors would be in trouble, but the reason I think it's a long series, I don't think Sac played particularly well, which is why I think it's a long series. You got Murray, 1-for-5, Kevin Herter, 3-for-12. So you got two starters going 4-for-17. Neither of them made a 3, 0-for-8 from 3. Obviously, I don't think Monk is going to average 32 for the series, but a serious issue for the Warriors is they can't contain Monk and Fox off the bounce. Mm-hmm. So you could put GP2 on Monk, Fox go crazy. Put GP2 on Fox, Monk goes crazy.
The problem with putting GP2 in the game is then their offense is
that's what I'm saying. You play GP2 and Dante, can't play Poole. Your 100 million guy is supposed to be your third score. So it's going to be an interesting balance of how Kerr handles the substitutions. The Warriors, the thing I noticed, they were plus 11 when Steph played. Steph sat 11 minutes. They got absolutely obliterated the minutes he sat. That was tough. I don't think he's playing under 40 next game. You can't go down too well.
Game though, bro.
I know. I think he's going over 40 is what I'm saying. I don't think he's playing 48. Kings, you were kind of with me on this. Everybody was like, Kings, no experience. It's gonna be a wipeout. Warriors gonna hit the switch. I was like, I don't know. I've been watching this team all season. I don't think it's going to be an easy series. What was your take on game one, bro?
Man, it's the Kings can play, bro.
Yes, he...
it's a lot of Dubs fans like, oh, Monk will never play like that. But Monk's had multiple games this year where he's gone for like 30, 40.
That's him, J.R. Smith.
It's like, bro, it's like, that's why I'm like, I'm not, I don't think you guys are. That's like, in my opinion, I'm looking at their tweets, I'm like, I'm not sure y'all watch Sac this year. Like, yeah, I agree. They like if they go on the road, they're not playing like that. I absolutely 100% agree. That's why I got this as a long series. I think everybody's gonna win their road game up until that pivotal game 7. But it's like next series, like next game, like Keegan Murray, he can go off. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Herter, he can get hot. You know what I'm saying? Like Sabonis can start complaining, but like it's they still put up what 120 plus? You know what I mean? Like even despite
126. 126.
Like, even despite Sabonis playing, like they can score in so many ways. Like it's a lot of arrogance from Golden State fans. Like, bro, they just think the Kings are gonna lie down or something. Like they've been putting 120 on every team all year. They're not about to just stop scoring just because you're a Warrior. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not gonna happen, but you know, I still think the Warriors should feel good in the sense that, like, even if the Warriors go down 0-2, I would still take the Warriors in games 3 and 4. You know what I mean? Just because the way they play at home and how I don't trust Sac to go in that environment and pull out wins against the defending champs. But it's like, if anybody thinks, oh, game 2 is fine, we played a bad game, Sac not going to play like that. If you think that's going to happen, don't be shocked. They put a 130 on your ass. Like, it's not it's not sweet, bro. It's not sweet playing Sac, bro. It's not.
So – real quick before I go to Jordan and Vinay. So my only thing is I agree with you with the home thing. I just – Sac was a damn good Rome team this year.
They are.
That's the really – I really think – I mean, the Warriors are going to have to win one on the road anyway. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they had to win two. Like if Sac went into Golden State and stole one on a fluke or a crazy late ending, that wouldn't shock me. They were a good road team. Best road team in the West, right, Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like – That wouldn't surprise. So like this is going to be a long series, like, to me at least. Nate, what is your take on the series? What'd you see in game one?
Yeah, I was probably the only person in my friend circle that picked the Kings to win this series, but I picked like the Kings in seven to win this series because I thought both teams would just win their home games and then just push go to game seven, and then Warriors haven't been good in game seven or on the road in general. But yeah, game one it was just like it honestly just felt like the Kings were just. The only way I can describe it is like they just keep playing the same style offense. They never stop.
Yes.
And it's just like if the defense comes through, great. If the defense doesn't come through, whatever, that's fine. So Sabonis has a bad game. So they stop going to Sabonis. And kudos to him because he kind of like he didn't try to force it too much outside of like very obvious possessions and stuff like that. But they're like, all right, Monk's got the hot hand. Just keep feeding him over and over and over again. So him and Fox go off. And it's exactly what you described. Like I saw them put Kuminga on Fox. I saw them put Wiggins on Fox, and I saw them put GP2 on Fox. Like, they're trying. Like, it's not like Golden State's not trying something different. It's just they were having trouble with it. And then what you said was right. Like, if they put GP2 on Fox, now Monk has a guy that he's probably faster than getting to the rim or scoring or something like that. So, I just thought Sacramento just kept playing. Like, they never got. There was a point in that game where I feel like the Warriors went up like 8 points or something like that. And I was like, I felt like everybody on the timeline said, oh, this game's over. Like Golden State's going to put this game away. And then the Kings go on a run and take the lead back. And I was just like, this team just doesn't stop. They just play all the way down. And so, you know, it's a young team. That's how they play.
Jordan, who'd you have in this series?
Oh, bro, I toss and turn. You know,
okay.
I talked to Kings about it. I was like, bro, you know, I trashed the Kings all year. I kind of got to put my money where my mouth is. But you know what? At the end of the day, like, this is the worst matchup for the Warriors in the sense that, A, the Warriors can't win on the road. And, B, the Kings can win on the road. And, you know, shout out to OG JR Goodman. Y'all know
Ricky
Goodman.
Ricky G.
You know, he said, bro, like, Mike Brown, he knows the Warriors' weakness. They're going to run up and down the court, and they're going to tire out the Warriors because he knows that Mike Brown knows Curry can't play 48 minutes. You know what I mean? Yeah. He knows Klay can't play 48 minutes. And what the Kings do totally offsets what the Warriors can do because they stretch the floor and they make you guard in space, dude, because they have five guys that can literally stretch the floor. And, you know, Vinay kind of touched on it with Sabonis. He wasn't good offensively, but what did he do? He crashed the boards.
Yes.
He was great on hustle plays, dude. You know what I mean? And, like, that's a huge difference, bro. And you have to be able to win the glass to win a playoff series. I think the Kings can win this playoff series, bro. Because at the end of the day, the Warriors can't win a game on the road, Jason. they're like 9-29 on the road, bro. They're terrible.
I picked the Warriors in seven just off the pedigree. Everything All the data screams Kings, but I was like, you know what? They won it last year. They got Wiggins coming back. I have that much respect for Steph and Klay. Like, bro, it was all like intangible.
Bro, at the end of the game, though,
part of a champion stuff.
Jason, at the end of the game, they were like, okay, Wiggins, make this shot. They let him shoot. They were like wide open. He couldn't hit an open shot.
And the crazy part, Barnes hit his. That was a funny, like poetic justice.
the Harrison Barnes revenge series.
Yeah. Really was. But man, the Kings are, as much as I've talked shit about them all the year. Sorry, I don't know if I can say shit. As much as I've talked
about little hoopers for the kids. Remember that, baby.
But I mean, like, isn't that word like nationally? Okay. Anyways, I've talked a lot about them negatively, that they're bad defensively. But at this point, I'm just like, bro, they're so good offensively and they can just affect the game so, like, in so many ways offensively that it offsets their deficiencies defensively, dude. And usually you don't see that in the playoffs, but we saw it in this game. You know what I mean? And maybe it's different in a different series against a different team, but against the Warriors, I mean, Mike Brown, he's been there. He's seen the Warriors. Like, he knows what they're going to do. And like, honestly, I feel like I feel like the Kings are going to win this series, man. Like, I agree with you guys. Like, the Kings could win a game in Oracle or whatever they call it in Chase in San Francisco, the gentrified version of Oracle. But man, dude, like, can the Warriors win two road games? I don't think it's possible. I really don't.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I'm holding on to all the intangible, nostalgic, you know, that Rudy Tomjanovich, hard, never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Jason, tell me I'm crazy right now. De'Aaron Fox, if you consider Steph Curry a point guard, okay, whatever. De'Aaron Fox, the best point guard in the NBA.
I think he's in a conversation. I mean, I've been higher on D-Fox than most. I was like, you guys just don't watch Kings games, but that guy is special. I've been saying this. I think if he's not on that first tier of point guards because of his playoff success, which is fair, I think that's fair to do. He's right on that second tier.
I think people underrate his shot making too, man. You can't tell me, because some people who put SGA over him, you can't tell me SGA going to be hitting some of these threes. And he's not hitting those. And there's a bonus here. You know what I mean? SGA not going to be able to just take that rock, you know, and start hunting for free throws, because you got to play off your big man with the Kings. So it's like, I'm not sure, you know, not sure.
We don't need to trash SGA now, but
I'm not trashing SGA. I'm just saying
it's the style of play.
Guy that people said that Fox can't be over because, you know, in the first team, he's the one blocking Fox. So I just asked people, I'm like, how can you do that, kid? Like, at what point does winning the fact that Fox is leading a three seed in the West never been to playoffs and who's performing at a high level all year, like, how can you reward SGA because he's possibly the individually better player and he scores more? But it's like, Fox is impacting winning, bro. Like, he's literally closing games for them, bro. Like, you can't say that his game is best not the reason.
Best clutch player in basketball. And y'all know how much I love SGA.
Right.
He's a better individual player, but for this season, like, Fox is
first. I don't even know if that's the case. Fox might be the better player.
You know, my first team guards are Spider and Fox.
I have Fox on my first team. I was actually shocked.
Hey, Maples, I got them both too. If you go from games played, winning record, and production, they're the first team. I don't care if other guys are better than them. Like, that's just not how you can do it, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to
exactly.
Go
yeah.
What they did this year. Like,
we are here.
He's actually I don't know if you guys have looked it up, but I remember I looked up towards the end of the season, cleaning the glass. I looked up Fox's stats. Shooting from different areas on the court, he's shooting career highs almost across the board from different spots on the court.
How is Luka Doncic first team? Can somebody tell me that, please?
Hey, man, let me get started. This pod will run 30 minutes longer.
Oh, my God. He's white. He's white.
Like, what is going on here, bro?
This pod will run. If I get to because I'm going to tell you, it's been so many players, maybe not to the level that Luka did it with the stat stuffing, but there's guys who've had humongous stats And we just brushed it off because the team stuck. Like, no, that's not the team stink.
Like, why? Well, okay, then why didn't Bill? Why didn't Bradley Beal make a
that's
team?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Bradley come Beal, on, bro. Like, this is ridiculous.
The
bro.
Biggest two for me were Bradley Beal, and then when DeMarcus Cousins was putting up like 27 and 15 a sack, and they were like, no, they stink. It's not real. Like,
they gave DeAndre Jordan. Like, okay, not bro. Yeah. Oh, okay, bro. Like, or, yeah, okay. Like,
you
yeah,
gotta be
right.
White. You gotta be white to be with the staff stuff.
Dude come missed on, the playoffs with Kyrie Irving. He first team.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's gonna on, be. I. That's gonna be a. That
they were. They were better with Kyrie and without him. Like,
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's going. That's
like,
gonna
they
be
were better when he was not playing.
When that hat drops, that is definitely gonna be a subject of discussion on the pod. Let's get back to these offs. Biggest game of the day. Obviously, people were excited to see Suns had not lost with KD in the lineup. Went against the Clippers. Clippers go into Phoenix, steal game one. Lot to unpack here. First of all, I'm going to say when I put that I picked the Clippers because I felt like Kawhi was the best player in the series, people treated it like it was sacrilegious. And I was trying to tell you, like, I would say you can say whatever you want about Kawhi, a part-time NBA player. He had a hiccup in the bubble, but if you look at his whole playoff resume, the man is different when it's time to get to the chicken. It's like maybe a couple guys I'm taking over. Maybe. And one of them is 38, so I don't even know at this point now. That's all, like, it's maybe a couple guys. So that's the first thing I'm going to get out the way.
There's a couple guys you're taking over him, please.
But I just saw Giannis go 50 in the closeout finals game, bro. Like,
all right, that's all I need here.
My head.
All right, we good.
My thing is, I also saw what Boston did to superstars all playoffs last year, and Steph just demolished their historically great defense.
What's Steph going to do against the Kings this year?
We'll see. I mean, he had 30 in game one. I think he's got a couple 40 bombs in this series. To me,
he had a couple 23s.
I tweet about how I don't love that. I think he needs to be more diverse in his shot profile, but
I love Steph. I love Mason.
But KD 27. I thought KD had a rough start, but he got a great second through fourth quarter. Chris Paul 2 for 8, 7 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds. Book 26-3-1. Aiden 18-8. The Suns got absolutely nothing from the bench, which is what we all said when we saw coming to the series. I think the Suns, the Norman Powell, 14, man, double figures, 10. Plumlee, 7 points, 11 rebounds. So the Clippers got a lot more out there, their auxiliary players. Russell Westbrook had the most impactful 3-for-19 game I've ever seen in my life.
Ever.
He was killing the Clippers offensively, but he was making the Suns work like hell on defense. I had never seen him defend like that. It's funny because I was thinking about Kings. I said this a few times when Russ was like, he was like, something gets into Russ when he sees Kevin Durant on the other side of the floor.
they put him on. They didn't even think twice. Ty Lue put him right on Kevin. And
the way he fought around screen, he knows how to contest KD, bro. He bites around those screens and jumps to contest KD at the apex. Like, I thought that was, like, really – you could tell he had really, like, studied that.
They played together for a very long time.
I'm sure there were a lot of one-on-one battles at the end of those practices. Let's go back the other way. Jordan, I'll start with you. What was your takeaway just from this game, game one?
Yeah, you know, I tweeted with Kings. I was like, bro, Westbrook shot the Suns back into the game in the third quarter, bro. Like – he missed like 7 straight shots and it brought the Suns back in it. But at the end of the game, dude, he did the small things to help his team win, bro. He crashed the boards and he was great defensively. And great players tend to do that. When they can't affect the game scoring, they find ways to affect the game other ways. And Russell Westbrook did that. Yeah. And it was huge, dude. It was the difference in this game, to be honest.
Yeah, real quick, before I go back to 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And for me, the big thing with Russ, only 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's been like the stickler, so go ahead.
He was massive. And, I kind of feel the same way about Devin Booker, too, because Devin Booker was great defensively, too.
Yes, he was. Yes.
That was one of the best defensive games I've seen from Devin Booker. And unfortunately, they got this guy in Phoenix that played for the University of Arizona, number 22, DeAndre Ayton, who against the University of Buffalo, the Buffalo University, the Bills, when they played him in the tournament, you know, he couldn't beat a team with a guy larger than 6'4". So it just so happens that nothing's changed. He isn't, he has no heart. And that's the big difference in this game, in this series, dude. If DeAndre Ayton doesn't show up and if he doesn't realize, yo, I'm 7'1", I'm a great athlete, I could score at three different levels, this series is over, man. DeAndre Ayton is the difference maker, and that was the biggest difference because he was so soft, bro. I'm telling you right now, he let Westbrook rebound over him. He let everybody. He was the reason why the Suns lost this game. And I hope Monty goes to the board. I hope he shows him the film and is like, bro, look at this. You stunk, dude. You suck.
Hey, well, Jordan, you giving the PG version. You know if we got Coach Rich on here. You know what I mean? He gonna give the
unfilled. I mean, the main minutes were, but I just, the more they, like, I think on a deeper level, that stuff down the stretch was tough. Like, I saw Gordon go right through Aiden's chest a couple times for layups. Like, that's what that
made. He was terrible, Jason.
I just think the bench is a bigger issue. Like, anytime they take one of those starters off and have two bench guys on the floor, they get ate up, bro.
They probably can't sit those guys, but Jason, you cannot sugarcoat how bad Aiden was.
Go ahead.
I mean, TJ Warren has to play. Ross has to play more, bro. Like, you need scoring. You can't rely on, like, Devin Booker. Like, it's funny because, you know, it's like I picked the Clippers to win. You know, I want to get jokes out, but I can't badmouth KD and Book. I mean, they play with heart on both ends of the floor. Like, I'm not going to just slander. Like, they play great basketball. But, I mean, when you have NPCs off your bench, like, it's hard to go to war when you bring in a knife to you bring in a Swiss Army knife and your opponent got AR-15. Like, you don't have a chance, bro. So you can't really blame them. But, yeah, man, the Clippers, I mean, Russ, boy. I remember I said this to the Laker fans when we got rid of Russ, or they got rid of Russ, and it was like he went to the Clippers, like, it's a better fit. And I told Russ is not a scrub, bro. Like, just because he plays a certain way and it doesn't work with certain teams, he's not a scrub. This is a Hall of Fame player. And you saw it. Great players make plays when their shot is not falling. That's what Russell Westbrook does. He has other ways to impact the game. That's why, despite the inefficient ball, he's been on competitive teams, because he can impact winning in a variety of ways. That's what makes Russ special. And we kind of saw it. I made a tweet. I said, honestly, you might be able – Russ might be more reliable than Paul George as your number two option, bro. Like, it's a reason why a lot of people felt comfortable picking the Clippers with no PG, because people
at Russ. Wow. Like,
you know what?
Damn.
Hey, Russ is going to give you 125%, bro. You don't have to question Russ Hart. He's not going down like no punk. Like, it's sometimes with PG, the skill, we get the skill and all that, but sometimes you're uncomfortable with him mentally when it get tough. But, like, you saw what happened when it got tough. You saw what Russell Westbrook, crash boards, lock up Devin Booker 1-on-1. Like, he's not running from nobody. And that's the type of – that's the type of people you need to go in the playoffs. And, hey, shout out Paul George, though. He knew Russ was one of them ones. Paul George had, you know, he had the mental awareness. He said, look, I'm not this certain type of guy. So it's like, bring in guys who are like that. Bring in guys who can help us get to that level. Because you saw what happened when Russ was playing like that. The other guys on the Clippers are feeding off of that. You know what I mean? That's one of the things we worried about. Do the Clippers have the leader? Do the Clippers have the guy? That's Russell Westbrook, bro. He's the guy who gets them riled up. He's the guy who's going to get everybody ready to go to war and ready to put it on the line. He leads by example. So it's like, that's why they got Russ. And you saw it in this game, bro. They don't win this game without that type of guy, bro.
Vinay, what'd you think about game one?
Yeah, I thought this game was crazy. It was like, at one point, it was just like shot for shot the entire way for like 6-7 minutes straight until the end of that game. And yeah, I agree with Kings. Like, when Russ got bought out, like, I kept tweeting him. I was like, don't go to the Clippers. Just go to any other team but the Clippers. Don't stay in the West Coast. And people were like, oh, you don't want him to go to the Clippers. But like, bro, like, he's a veteran minimum player now. Like, it's gonna cost you nothing, right? And you know, like, he took 19 shots today, but it's like, no Paul George, he's probably not shooting that much if PG's on the floor, if somebody else is scoring. I want to bring this part up because I think people don't realize, or they may not, this may become a discussion point soon. So the Suns went six deep. Only six people played more than 10 minutes in today's game for the Suns. Kevin Durant played 45 minutes, okay? He only sat for 3 minutes. Kevin Durant had 15 shots in 45 minutes. Kawhi Leonard played 42 minutes. He had 24 shots. If I'm a Suns fan, I'm probably looking at Monty right now and saying, all right,
a lot of people.
I need to, like, what's going on here? Like, okay, even Book had 9, like, 10 like for 19.
Teaming in KD.
Sorry?
No, but bro, it's not even just that, bro, because it's then the Suns have had this issue where people have been upset with how ball dominant Chris Paul gets, bro. And it doesn't help that Bridges leaves and Bridges goes over to the Nets. He looks like this. KD leaves, comes back, and now you have people say, hey, can we run offense through Kevin Durant? Yeah. Like, why are we not running offense? Like, that's not coincidence, bro. Like, why are you running pick and roll with Ayton, who we know is pathetic when it comes to having heart, and Chris Paul, who's like 5'11", old as hell, and his legs is falling off the bone. Like, give your ball to Kevin Durant, bro.
See,
like,
the traffic cop tweet. Did you see the traffic cop tweet?
That was so that,
traffic,
that,
he's a traffic cop. I have to direct. He's a control freak, bro. He's a control freak.
I don't know if it's Monty making that call and calling those pick and rolls, or if it's CP like just getting to freestyle the offense, and so that's the number he's calling. But dude, KD can't shoot 15 times. Like, KD needs to be shooting at least 20 to 25 times if you're playing 45 minutes almost the entire game. Or else, why'd you trade for him?
Yeah, I will say this: he did get 10 free throw attempts, so those are, you know, he was getting fouled, being aggressive, and he also had 11 assists. So there was a fair amount of play.
I'm saying, like, dude, they're doubling him, dog. He's fucking passing the ball. He has a ton of
assists. Well, that's fair, but we're talking about, like, when the game's on the line, why are you having Chris Paul run pick and roll?
There was a lot of high pick and roll with Aiden CP.
You're not even letting KD touch the rock. Like it's one thing you let KG touch the rock, they double and he passes to an open guy, and that's a good offense. But it's like, you're not even giving him the ball because, oh, he's gonna be doubled anyway. Let me run this high pick and roll. It's like,
dude, come on, man. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I know you and Jason hate this, but Chris Paul is probably the greatest point guard of the last 20 years.
Oh my god,
Jordan, and he is 30 what? 5'11".
I don't care, dude. He makes the right decision. He makes the right plays.
What has that gotten him?
He's gonna get these guys in the right position, dude.
He lost to Corey Brewer. He lost to Corey Brewer.
At the end of the day, dude, like, the biggest problem of the Suns is that they couldn't rebound the basketball.
Yeah, that was definitely an issue. Yeah,
and Chris Paul was getting boards. I'll give him that. He was fighting. I'll give him that.
And he's 5'11", 6 feet tall.
First of all, it's late, so, but don't think I didn't hear that best point guard in the last 20 years.
You know it's true, Jason.
No, it's not, bro.
Who's better?
No, it's not.
Who's better?
A player who didn't lose to Corey Brewer.
Who's better than Chris Paul?
Steph is the second greatest point guard ever. That's
Steph isn't a point guard, dude. He's a
here we go. Here we go.
He's better off ball. Chris Paul is the greatest point guard.
Don't. Guess the guy to dribble the ball up the court, pointing a finger in the air, talking about run 72 flat with a side pick, scream it out, flash.
Ball to Kevin Durant, please.
Come on.
Chris Paul's also way better all-time defender than Steph Curry. Oh, I don't want to go here, though, but –
brother.
Hey, I'm just saying, he better not lose to Russell Westbrook, man. Them comparisons gonna be crazy then on the offseason.
No, those comparisons should be those. No, they
did. A lot of narratives are on the line, Jordan. A lot of legacies are on the line in this series.
Yeah,
man.
All I know is KD got to shoot more than 15. Like, that 15 shots is nothing. That's role not player shots. You can't be doing that.
All right, let's head east for a minute. Jordan, your Bucks.
Oh, God.
We got some tough news today. I expected them to lose game one. That wouldn't surprise me at all. They have been known to put up game one stinkers. Chicago, Orlando with the OT, with a bad Miami team a couple years ago, and where they wiped them out for the rest of the series. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. But Giannis Antetokounmpo on a Kevin Love charge, hurt his tailbone pretty bad. Had to leave, did not return, tried to come back. Well, so much in pain, could not continue to send him out. Bucks win one. Heat beat the Bucks 131-117 in game one. Jimmy Butler 35 points, 11 assists, 5 boards. Clearly best player on the floor.
Yep.
Me and Kings are to have a little separate view on this. I don't think the Bucks can win this series without Giannis. Kings thinks they can. Start with you, Jordan. These are your guys. First of all, what have you heard about the injury? What did you read about it? And secondly, how did the Bucks have to adjust play style wise to, you know, survive in this series or keep stalling it out to get Giannis back?
I mean, I don't know Giannis's status other than that, you know, his x-rays came back negative. It's a contusion, which is a bruise. So, I mean, it's basically how much pain can you play through. It is a lower back, though, and we know with, you know, the back is – if you're not comfortable with your back, dude, that you basically – that's the most important part of your body, right? With that being said, the Heat, 27th in the league in three-point efficiency all year, shot over 55% from three today. Don't expect that to continue. There's obviously some regression to the mean coming with that.
I have a theory. I have a question about that.
I know you're going to say, well, Bud Lee's.
I'll say me and Kings, we've all three of us have noted Bud's defensive philosophy.
Yeah, you think, but I'm like, dude, even
they're obviously not going to shoot 60% like they did today from three. I just think, do you think they could shoot at a higher clip than they normally do with the way?
Well, I mean, the Bucks shot like what? 10-40?
Yeah, but the thing is, Giannis is not there to create the sexy looks they're accustomed to.
Doesn't matter, dude. They're not going to
Okay.
They're not going to shoot that bad. Do I like that they're not going to have Giannis maybe for the series? No. Like, that's obviously a huge – I mean, Giannis is the best player in the world, so that hurts your chances. But at the end of the day, you're right, dude. Jimmy was the best player on the floor today. That was why the Heat won. He created a lot of open looks for the Heat. He knocked down open threes, and that's why they won the game. But I don't expect the Heat to continue to shoot the three like they did today. I think without Giannis for the series, I think the Bucks should be able to beat the Heat. If they don't, it's a major red flag. And they obviously, you know, Giannis should probably ask for a trade on the offseason and go to a better
team. Oh, that is a big leap.
Well, I mean, how do the Bucks improve, dude? Chris Middleton is on one knee. He's washed, dude, basically. He was great today, but, I mean, like, they couldn't get a stop, dude, because the Heat just kept hitting everything. But I think the Bucks have enough, because I don't think the Heat can continue to do what they did from three, basically. Okay. So I think the Bucks can win the series without Giannis. Obviously, with Giannis, I think they wash the Heat, but
I agree. I thought they would lose this game and then win the next four. That's what I thought was going to happen. That's why I picked Bucks in five. Kings.
Yeah, man. I mean, like someone my mutual said, who's a Heat fan, the Bucks actually play the Heat better without Giannis for whatever reason. When they play without Giannis, they move Bam around a lot more offensively. Instead of the, you know, with Giannis, it's pretty simple. You know, I mean, he's going to drive. You got to stop the drive. And if you don't stop the drive, you don't give help, he's going to kick out. But Bam's one of those few players who actually, as we know, can play Giannis straight up. So that kind of makes it tough on Giannis to get his bread and butter going. But when Giannis isn't there, with at least against the Heat, the Bucks do a good job of making everybody play in space, because now they start, you know, moving the ball around, attacking everybody from the outside. But, you know, it's hard for me to gouge the Bucks. I need to see how they come out game two, because they always play bad game one. But no, they're a one seed for a reason. I mean, they're used to playing without Giannis. The Heat offense is generally awful. I mean, yes, play out Jimmy's a thing, but so I mean, you talk about NPCs on the Suns. There's some NPCs on the Heat, but granted, they play better. Vincent, you know, shout out Strews. I watched Strews Summer League 2021. He was burning the house down. He's still doing it at the professional level, but they're going to miss Tyler Hero, man. They're going to miss him. It was already an offense that struggled to score. Him gone, you know, you can exploit Duncan Robinson and some of those other guys. And I think, you know, the offensive trade-off is not going to be good enough for them. I think they played a great game one. I think ultimately, you know, that's how Coach Bud is. They go vanilla game one. They wait to see what the other team does before they do any type of scheme change. You know, it's funny. That's Bud's default. You kind of saw him go right out the gate. This is what they like to do. We're going to take this away. It kind of makes you wonder who was the guy doing that for Bud during that title run of, you know, seeing what guys like to do coming in the next game with a proper plan. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Bud changes things now that he's seeing how that he played him. Because I think for me, the Bucks just kept running what they do. They didn't try to adjust to anything that he were doing. You know how everybody keeps asking, why do the Bucks give up so many threes? Why do so many teams get A-plus threes? I mean, that's how they play, bro. You know what I mean? That's how they play. They're the Mavs give up the threes. I actually like that Ham went away from that. I mean, one of the things that showed me Ham was serious in the Grizzlies game, if you saw, Tyus Jones was in with Kennard, and he put Vando on Tyus Jones, and he put Dennis on Kennard. And that's when I knew he was serious, because he's like, you know, we're not letting you get these shots off. You know what you know how you like to play, and we're not letting you get them off. And Coach Bud is going to have to do that. He's going to have to at some point be like, look, we know how you like to play Gabe Vincent. We know how you like to play Strews. We have Brolo in the paint for Jimmy. If Bam's going to hit jumpers, God bless y'all, go to the next round. Yeah. But we are not letting Strews, Vincent, and Robinson just take practice shots. Like, we're not doing that, bro. Like, you're going to have to win against our defensive player here, candidate. You're going to have Jimmy beat them and have Ban hit jumpers all game. Like, that's how you're going to beat us, bro. Like, we're not letting elite 3-point shooters get practice shots. Like, he's going to have to do that, like, for them to win.
One thing real quick to the Brook and Bam part, like, they obviously were like, Brook was sitting off Bam all day. He was like, bro, if you're going to beat me shooting a 12-foot jumper, I'll let you beat me. And Bam knocked him down, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he beat him. So I think that is an adjustment. Obviously, they're gonna have to make. They're gonna have to put Brook on him more. Although Bam has been pretty terrible offensively for the last 4 months or so.
Yeah, he's got an injury. Yeah, I was talking to somebody about that. It was like he's not fully 100%. But hey, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens with Giannis, but like, I think you guys have already touched on all of it. Like, the Bucks know how to play without him. They play without him a bunch of times before. I don't think they shoot 24% from three like the next game. I don't think Miami shoots 60% from three like the next game either. They'll probably adjust a little bit. Maybe the coverages get tighter. Look, Jimmy's a real thing, but there's also an inconsistent playoff Jimmy. Like, he'll put up 38 one game, and then the next game he'll put up like 15. So like this. Yeah. You never know sometimes kind of what you get out of them, but I think the series could go either way. Obviously, if Giannis comes back, I would lean towards the Bucks, obviously, but you know, them losing Miami losing Harrow is a big deal. Like, how much are they going to lean on Kyle Lowry? Like, do they lean on him more? You know, he's been kind of up and down this season too as a player, so we'll see what happens. But the series could go either way. I think the Bucks can handle the Heat without Giannis.
One other thing I want to touch on too is that, you know, outside of Jimmy, Tyler Hero is their only source of shot creation. They have nobody else on that roster that can create a shot outside of
Jimmy. Hero's done for the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, losing Hero is huge for them.
I can tell you, Heat fans, they're not happy a guy got injured, but they like that team better with Hero off the court.
this is another thing, too. The Heat shot 18% better than their expected efficient field goal percentage in game one based on factors like shot location and shooter identity. This is based on second spectrum. So basically, based on their shot quality, shot creation, their 60% shooting is going to regress like we all think it is.
Okay, we'll see.
That's math, baby.
We'll see. We'll see. Playoffs, anything can happen.
You know damn well they ain't shooting 60% from three again.
I just said they'll shoot higher than you expect them to because of the way the Bucks defend. That's all that I was saying. Last other close game we had, I really want to touch on King because he's been alluded to this all season despite all the good stuff they were doing. Got to give him his flowers here. Cavs, Knicks. I watched that game. I thought about, man, Kings was talking about this all year. the Knicks effectively turned the two bigs of the Cavs into a liability because of the lack of spacing. That was a big issue. They still got Randall was really, you know, giving him was a handful for Mobley on the glass. He's just so much stronger than Mobley. He was making it real tough for rebound. The Knicks out-rebound the Cavs despite the two bigs, outscored them in the paint despite the two bigs. Brunson is definitely a difference maker compared to last year. Despite Donovan Mitchell's 38, Knicks win. I picked the Cavs in this series. I don't know if enough happened for me to change it, but my eyes are slanted at that series. My interest is peaked. Kings, what do you think about that series after game one?
Man, like I was saying, bro, you, it's hard to play both of them because, you see, if one of them could shoot threes at a high level, I'd be okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if this was – it's funny because if, like, if this was Laurie at the four and Evan Mobley at the five, like, you feel a lot more confident in the Cavs, right? Because it's like, right. Okay, they got the wing who could score from the perimeter and also be a good rebounder, have great size, and Laurie now allows Mobley to be more effective inside where he's best. But it's like, it's just hard to do, man. And it's like, Mobley's so good defensively now. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that trade was tough, man, to see how Laurie developed. It's just tough, bro. It's tough because now people are saying, oh, Garland has to leave, things like that. And it's like, man, I mean, you have to look at the Cavs, the way they're set up. I think if anything, you got to get a wing, you got to get off Allen and get a wing, and then you have to challenge Garland to be better defensively. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, granted, you know, Brunson didn't cook like that, like crazy, but he still had a good 27, made big shots. You know what I'm saying? Tough, good leader. Yeah, man, the Cavs, Donnie, he's going to be their go-to guy. You know what I mean? It's that backcourt is small, bro. It's small.
I think it's a tough because the two bigs become a necessity because the guards, yeah. the backcourt is so small. Hat tip to Kobe. Kobe, like, the Cavs Twitter was on his neck. He was like, he was suggesting a Garland for Brandon Ingram trade. He was like, they need to get off. They need to get a wing badly and give Donnie the keys. And I know they was on his neck for that, but he was like, I saw this coming. Shout out to homie Cole. He was like, they need a guard. They need a wing badly. They got nothing for the Cavs. They got nothing from the wings. I don't know if that's going to change because that's been like that all season. The front line can't get beat on the glass like that. Like, Randall's the thing about Randall. He could be inefficient sometimes, but what he's going to do every night is hit the glass. And I think that's where Mobley has to get a little tougher in game two. That was really bad. He can't get pushed around like that on the glass. And they got to contain Brunson a little better. I mean, he makes some tough shots, so sometimes stars just going to be stars, but I think they got to make it a little tougher for him in the half court. What do you think about that series after game one?
I mean, to King's point, getting rid of Laurie, I think – they expected Evan Mobley to expand his offensive game. I mean, this is a guy that has shot over 35% from three in college, right? So, like, you expect him to be better. And, like, he was good off the dribble in college. I mean, I'm a USC guy, dude. Like, I watch this kid literally as a kid. I've seen him grow and expand his game. Like, he's going to be much better. I think the problem with the Cavs, dude, is, like, he's not given the opportunity to expand his game because they're guard oriented, dude. Like, it's like Garland and Mitchell, they initiate the offense, they do the offense, and then Mobley and Allen are just there. Like, I think the Cavs have done they've done a travesty to this entire process, right? Mobley should be a lot better than he is, and he should have a lot more touches than he's had.
Yeah, but I think Garland's got to be better. I saw John Rivers was like, that's bad basketball. 43 minutes, 17 points, one assist from your point guard. I don't think that's going to cut it in a in a playoff setting. Mitchell, 14 for 30, 38 points on 30 shooting possessions, plus the free throws. He's got to be a little more efficient, I think.
But the problem, Jason, you can't do all this in the playoffs.
Like
this
yeah, that's
you should have been doing throughout this course of the season.
Yeah.
But now the Cavs are they're in the playoffs now, and they're like, okay, now we got to figure out how to initiate offense. Like, it's not going to work, dude.
Knicks they got to rebound better from the guard spot, man. I think you know, Crowder didn't get a rebound. You got guards coming off the bench like Josh Hart had 17 and 10. You know what I mean?
You know, Josh Hart's one of the best rebounding guards in the league.
The best. If you look at like the advanced stats as far as guards who rebound and trap, he's the best rebounding guard in the NBA.
Yeah, Villanova, Jay Wright.
You sound like Ricky G.
I'm telling you, Villanova, Jay Wright, he just develops good hoopers, bro.
All right. Before I go to the final time, I just want to say shout out Kings. The Timberwolves didn't get it done for you tonight, man. Very, very rough game one.
The worst offensive performance.
Yeah, they just got to get a little more organized.
I'll chalk it up to altitude. We play two playing games.
Okay.
I'll come back game two and I'll have a real analysis because what I saw was pathetic. That's
y'all getting the sweat, dude.
All right, but I do want to get this on wax. We discussed it lightly before we hit the record button here. So because of the two guys that were affected by it, two superstar players, Ja probably done for the series. Praying he's not. We'll see how that goes. Giannis is obviously going to be hampered if he does come back. Charges two bang-bang plays. A lot of advocates are pushing for banning the in-the-key charge. I just want to go around the horn, get your quick thoughts on that. You know, if you're not all for banning the charge, any adjustments that you would make to try to mitigate that, or just, you know, if your takeaway is this is a sport and there's a, you know, in every sport that's contact, there is a, you know, chance you might get hurt. You know, that's just unfortunately how, you know, physical activity works. You know, I know that sounds cold, but it's kind of is what it is. Kings, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on the whole ban the charge thing that picked up steam today?
All tweets too much is moving the masses, man. he's at the forefront. He's a pioneer of this agenda. It's funny because he's one of the same guys who, when it comes to football, he'll let you know. It's like, hey, what do you want? They can't play touch. He can't play two-hand touch. So it's like funny to see him advocate for this removal of the charge because, I mean, it's a contact sport, man. Like, if you're a high flyer, don't people complain that Giannis needs to stop running into guys? Like, isn't that a complaint, right? Isn't it the complaint? It's like, man, Josh, stop trying to jump over everybody. Like, it's like you can't just let guys just go unimposed. If you take away the charge, Ja Morant averages 35, Giannis averages 37, Zion averages 33, 35 on 70% shooting, like, you have to make those guys think twice about attacking you every time. And the charges does that. Because now it's like, I may cost my team a possession. I may hurt myself, hinder myself, wear down my body.
You get a foul.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't just get in and be in challenges unopposed if somebody's willing to stand in front of me. The charge keeps guys honest when it comes to driving to the rim. I mean, you saw it with Devin Booker in this game. Right, against Team N, he made some big charges. You saw where Russell Westbrook gets DeAndre Ayton and some other guys take some big charges. Like, it keeps guys honest, man. You can't take away contact from a contact sport. Basketball is still a contact sport, man.
Ooh, today.
Yeah, I think the whole ban the charge thing is stupid as hell or stupid as heck. Like, keep it kid friendly. Like, I think it's just dumb, man. Like, even if you take away the tactical part of the charge, there's literally no way to stop an offensive player. It's already hard to defend offensive players in the NBA today, especially with how skilled some of these guys are. SGA, Fox, Booker, KD, Kawhi. Like, can you imagine like what's going to happen if you can't draw a charge? I will say the only thing I would do is they need to figure out what the difference is between a collision charge and a landing charge, because I think those are two different things. And I know for some of your listeners may know, but Steve Nash was an expert at drawing the landing charge where the guy would already be in the air and he'd get in right before the guy was like on his way down and he'd draw a charge like as the guy was sort of falling down. Like he would time it perfectly. And usually guards do that if they're like rotating late. And I think the NBA has a big, like the jaw thing, he just tried to out jump AD and he like, you know, landed badly trying to land on him. So that's just an unfortunate situation. But even like, I'm the guy who's always saying like the charge where the guy runs into the player and then he kicks it out to a wide open three and the refs call that a charge. I was like, even that charge is stupid. I was just like, just play on. It's just a good drive and kick or whatever. But you can't ban it because then it's impossible to play defense against a bunch of teams. You better let us hand check then. You gotta bring hand checking back or bring back the zone defense. Take away the defense of 3 seconds or something. Like you can't. It's a dumb thing to advocate for. And I think it's too extreme of a reaction, kind of like the Kawhi landing zone thing. Like when he got hurt, the league made it like, oh, now you can never now it's like really, really hard to contest 3-point shooters without getting in their landing zone or touching them. So it's like, don't overreact to it. It's unfortunate. I feel bad for Ja. I feel bad for Giannis, but like don't overreact to it. These are normal basketball plays that are happening.
Right. Jordan.
I think to, you know, Vinay's point, especially the sliding under a player while he's already in the air, that has to be banned. That needs to be a flagrant, and that'll change a lot of things because that's where guys are getting hurt, to be honest, you know? So I think that changes everything, and that kind of is similar to sliding under a guy contesting a 3-point shot, right? You know, it's unfortunate because like it is hard to defend already, but at the same time, it's like if I'm up in the air, dude, and I jump at the free throw line and you slide underneath me to take a charge, like that should not be a charge, dude. Like I'm already in the air making my shot attempt. You know what I mean? So it's like it's tough.
I think in the rule book, they say he has to be in legal guarding position before he elevates. So I think the refs are just missing that.
Yeah,
it's in the rule book says that. So, but go ahead.
No, you're right, dude. They're obviously missing it. Like that's the problem with this thing. That's the problem with basketball officiating in basketball, dude. It's so many objective calls, dude. Like it could be one thing or another. It is what it is. You know, college officiating is even worse than the NBA, if you can imagine that. But it's just hard to like be like, okay, we have to ban the charge. Like, okay, how do you play weak side defense?
Right. You know what I mean?
Unless you have like three Hakeem Olajuwons on the floor, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you can't play a weak side defense at that point. So it's unfortunate that the injuries are happening, but I do think that like if you're in the act of shooting, you're in the air, a defender slides under you, that has to be a defensive foul.
Yeah, I just like banning the charge. I was joking. I was like, well, where does it stop? Don't just stop there. Like, you know, ban setting screens because you know people can get hurt and get their shoulder dislocated. You know,
well, I mean, the Warriors are infamous for sending screens, dude, offensive screens.
Yeah, just like it was just my, you know, it's a physical activity. You know, things happen. You know, that's just it happens when you play sports. It's one of the risks. I know it sounds cold, but I know you want to player safety's a thing. But you know, the offense has so many advantages already in the NBA. Battle. You got to give the defense something. And the Kings said it best. It gives the offensive players something to think about. Like, you know, am I going to pick up a foul, get a turnover, I can get hurt. You know, those are things that weigh when you have to drive.
Yeah, but Kings isn't thinking about Giannis when he said that.
I think the two adjustments I can stomach where there's a bit of a compromise. But the way these athletes are, I maybe put the charge circle out a little bit more. That's probably one thing I could do.
Fair.
Other thing is to, you know, maybe have players kind of check and guess it is if, you know, you do that thing where they're already in the air and you step under there and the replay can deem it or whatever, you know, it's a flagrant.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are two realistic and you know, feasible compromising adjustments that I could see to it. But, like, just banning the charge is just, you know, those it just sounds like it just when you think about the concept of like, hey, we're gonna take away the ability.
It still doesn't even eliminate injuries, dude. You know what I mean? Because like, if what you said, Jason, were the banning of like Giannis jumped before Kevin Love slid underneath, he still got hurt. Doesn't take away from the fact that he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, some people didn't think about it more because, like, hey, I don't want to get a flagrant. You know, the charge cycles out. They might, hey, he's not going to call his charge. So that's where I'm thinking. Like, it would adjust the thinking towards taking a charge is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I kind of like how the NFL, like, we're not going to ban kickoffs. We're going to put move it 5 yards in front so there's more touchbacks. There's less, yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of the thought process behind moving the charge circle.
Yeah, because I thought the reason why they made that landing zone rule, obviously because Kawhi got knocked out of that series because of it, was because they wanted to make it so that you would think twice about trying to contest a guy who's already in the air.
Right, that's what, yeah, right, right. Yeah, it's think the same, about it, yeah. It's same
think about bro, that. If you ban the charge, think about it. If you ban the charge, I could actually make the argument that it's going to lead to more fights in the NBA because defensive players are going to be like, I can't take a charge, so now we got to wrestle.
Yeah, I got a foul, so it's not an A1.
Exactly.
I got to attack the point of attack. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just that's not a good. I mean, I'm okay with it because in 90s basketball, that's what it was like. They would just fight each other anyway. So you guys could go out and do it, but the modern fan's not going to like it when LeBron's freight training people leg to the ribs. So yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Man, that was heat. Love this episode. Make sure you follow RIP Kings, bruh. Make sure you follow Jordan Rules TSP. Make sure you follow V Killam. Tap into his spaces with Raj on playback, his live rooms on playback during Laker games. Are you guys doing one for game two?
Yeah. So Raj does the watch, but you can find us at Lakers Detailed on the live stream on YouTube or whatever. Just if you follow me, you'll see it. Don't even worry about it.
So make sure you follow V Killam. Tap in with him. A lot of good content. A lot of good eye for the game. That's all. Vin is also my salary cap guy. When I have a question about who the Lakers can sign and what they can't pay a guy.
Can I say one thing? Well, yeah. One last thing about that. Everybody, like, I just saw today somebody say Utah Jazz executive said Austin Reeves is worth $100 million. Look, man, look, because I know some GMs listen to this pod, all right? Look, if you're going to give Austin Reeves I want to see you write an offer sheet and give Austin Reeves $100 million before you go out and start saying stuff. The Lakers can match anything that he gets, but it's just like, people just throw numbers out there and the Laker fans get like, oh my God, we're not going to be able to afford him. Like, Jeannie loves Austin. She loves Austin. And he's stepping up. So if somebody thinks he's worth $100 million, more power to him, man. Like that's, he's earned that money. So then the Lakers can match it if they want. But don't be worried about it. Lakers can find a way to keep him for sure if they want to.
There it is. That's a great way to end the pod, man. Keep Austin Reeves a Laker. No Caruso repeat, even though they lucked up.
No.
You know, I'm not even going to say lucked up. They scouted themselves into a better version of Caruso. Man, you guys tap in. Be safe. And we are out of here.